Good morning and welcome to the first virtual Sunday morning service. We know that many of you are trying to join us online, and we hope that you have a bulletin in front of you that Amy has sent to you. First of all, most importantly, we need to thank Ron and Amy, who have been working like crazy to get us online and get us on Zoom. Also, thanks to the musicians who are here this morning, and especially a welcome back to Josh, who is back at this time from Florida, and we all love it. There are several people who have called the church in the last week to help with errands, grocery shopping, shoveling. Kurt especially wanted to be named if you live in the direction of Nederland. Please let us know here, or you can call him directly if there is any need that he can be helpful with, or anyone down here in Boulder as well. One more announcement that you do not have in your prayer list this morning. Lorne spent the night in the hospital after fainting yesterday. My conversation with Mickey was that he should be discharged later today. Please do keep them in your prayers. Of the people here, is there any announcement that still needs to be made?
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Amy will soon, later today, be putting a link on our webpage and in the email that she sends out to you, with special music specifically by Boyd. There'll be a link to either an MP3 file or a private YouTube link that you can open at any time throughout the week for your own special Boyd serenade. Please be looking for that in the next couple of days.
And all of us have plenty of time these days at home to do exactly that. So thank you to Boyd, long way off, and thanks, Michael, for giving us the update on that. If there is nothing else, I invite you to stand for our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is present, who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist.
Amen.
If you were to watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, and so we confess. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned away from you, knowingly and unknowingly. We have wandered from your resurrection life. We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God, Give us new hearts and right spirits, that we may find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever.
Amen.
Receive the good news. God turns to you in love. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, says our God. All your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the free and abounding gift of God's grace for you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Church. this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you will do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see mortals as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." When Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsibly the psalm appointed for the day, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second reading is from Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, the ninth chapter.
Lord,
as Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisee the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one who is speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you see it, say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How did any of this happen? How could any of this happen? When at the moment of a global pandemic, our appointed scripture readings give us a healing story to preach on, we have reason to hope for some guidance for our time and day. But as you just heard in the reading of this long story, the healing is only the beginning to a very long, drawn-out discussion that seems to be leading absolutely nowhere. 5 times, the religious leaders ask, "How did he open your eyes?" And even the 5th time around, the answer they get doesn't explain anything. And the discussion doesn't just feel pointless. Yes, there is even comedy there. I know we are not used to looking at scripture as comedy, but there is no other way to interpret the ongoing inquisition otherwise. The man blind from birth is healed, which should be a reason for a party to rival the wedding at Cana, but instead only leads to debate. And the debate circles around the most profound and yet most pointless question in history: why? Why has this happened? Why was a man blind from birth? Someone has got to be responsible for that. Someone must have done something to make this happen. So round up the usual suspects: the man himself, blind from birth, his parents. Did his mother have a glass of Chardonnay early in the pregnancy? There's got to be an explanation. Someone's got to be responsible, because if there isn't, then life is so random that we can't take it. We need to have answers, no matter how absurd they may be. We need to find an explanation. because we take blaming anyone and anything before we settle on chaos. Sounds familiar? Who can we blame for COVID-19? Who can we blame for not just a national, but a global economic meltdown? Who can we blame for thousands of people dying? Who can we blame for the tanking of the stock market? Who can we blame for insufficient test kits? Who can we blame for gaining 5 pounds in just the last week because we have been binge watching Grey's Anatomy and only rolled off the couch for another bowl of ice cream? Someone's got to take the blame for this. Because if we cannot find someone to blame, the world becomes entirely too random for us to stomach. For much of his life, I suspect it must have been his fault. Even though the neurons connecting his optical nerves to his brain formed when he was no more than a blob of a few hundred cells becoming a body, he was told that this blob committed a sin so large as to render him blind for his entire life. And his parents must have been under similar scrutiny. Could it be them that are to blame? Perhaps Dad came from a family with generations of sight impairment. Perhaps Mom had a smoke or two during pregnancy. Can we blame them? Because if we cannot blame someone, tragedies like this become random and the world entirely unpredictable. This simply cannot happen without an explanation. So who has sinned? Jesus calmly says, no one, not he, not his parents. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. That might not be a satisfactory answer when you have spent your life in darkness, but Jesus sets out to change that. Spit and dirt make mud, and in the same way as God's hands and breath formed our first parents from the mud of the garden, this mud too leads to life in the light. Just with one problem. It was the Sabbath. All his life, the blind man had been told that he was a sinner. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been born blind. Now the people around him say he's a sinner because he was healed on the Sabbath. So far, he was a sinner for being blind. Now he's a sinner because he sees. Someone did something to him on the day when everything is supposed to remain the same and no work whatsoever was to be done. Now he can see, so someone must have worked to make this happen. Was it he himself? Or was it the healer whose face he hasn't seen yet? There is a whole interrogation squad on overdrive here. Neighbors who can't make up their minds if this really can be their formerly blind neighbor who now sees. A group of Pharisees who promptly declare the healer a heretic because he hadn't observed the Sabbath. Even the man's parents throw up their hands in frustration. We have bailed him out so often while he was blind, they say, now he can see, ask him. He's of age. He knows what happens. Ask him. It's a mess. If this is how Jesus thinks that God's work is revealed, we need some help. If this is how we are supposed to find meaning in tragedy and crisis, I don't think this is working. So where can we go from here? Let me tell you that I personally am simply not inclined to play the blame game. While I get angry at gross negligence and resulting disasters, I know that mistakes happen. but forces much greater than I or my imagination govern the universe. When these forces break loose, people are sometimes healed and sometimes hurt. Wonderful things as well as terrible things happen on this earth. And when all we do to explore the world is watch the evening news, we miss a good bit of it. Fundamentally, God's creation is good, scripture says, but the laws of nature are blind. Gravity allows us to put our feet firmly on the ground and make us feel safe, but it is also the force that makes bricks tumble and kill us when we stand underneath. What is much more interesting and helpful, though, is to think about how God's work might be revealed in our response to tragedy, not in the tragedy itself. Take once again, if you want, our current situation. I doubt I'm the first one to tell you that when COVID-19 arrived in the United States, it came to people in a divided country, divided by race, divided by generations, divided by income, divided by political affiliation, divided by places where people lived, divided by gender, divided by education, and probably divided by a few more things that I don't have time to list this morning. But what I'm hearing right now is that the Democrats are going shopping for the Republicans. Let the Republicans teach Democrats how to stay connected through social media. What I'm hearing is that homebound quilters all over the country have set aside their quilts to sew up medical masks for nurses who haven't been home in weeks. What I'm hearing right now is that shoppers in grocery stores are suddenly thanking those who stopped the shame. And the very first response to having had to close this worship space last weekend was the one of a graduate student who asked how she could help the people with whom she has been worshiping here every week, and who are two, if not three, generations older than she is. There is some divine work revealed here. In the midst of pain and tragedy, in the midst of separation, in the midst of our impatience and frustration of having to stay home. And that work is revealed in how we respond. As I've been telling the Wednesday morning study again and again, St. John's Gospel describes the life of Jesus as a renewed creation of the world. The healing of a blind man taking place on a holy day remembers the first creation when mud and breath made the first Adam, reminding us that sometimes the best eyesight is useless when we cannot truly see. And he tells the story of eyes once blind that slowly try to make sense of a world formerly invisible. Can we live with the consequences of giving up the blame game? Can we live looking for the work of God to be revealed in how we respond to adversity? Can we live in gratitude for what we have, for all gifts, no matter if they feel insufficient or too much? For if we can, I predict that we will see more grace. I predict that our eyes will be opened and we recognize the gifts that abound among us. Life, healing, and the opportunity to begin anew each day. And together with refraining from forcing explanations by way of the blame game, that might just be something for God to smile about. And then, you know, grace abounds. Amen.
Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. To Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and for all in need. God of living water, you sent your church beyond boundaries to proclaim your grace. May its witness be a source of refreshment for thirsty souls. Strengthen our voices that all people can know and see and believe that Jesus is truly the Savior of the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, protect from pollution or misuse all rivers, lakes, oceans, and streams. Bless the work of those who dig wells and those who advocate for access to clean water. Let all people and animals have enough to drink. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, you open the hearts of leaders and authorities that they hear the cries of the suffering and act with compassion toward all. Bring peace to disputed lands and bring reconciliation to people divided by race, culture, or nationality. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, mend the hearts of those who grieve broken relationships, whether by conflict, abuse, divorce, or death. Draw near to all who are ill, especially those who deal with the coronavirus. Assure those questioning your presence in the midst of doubt or suffering. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, renew us in the promises of our baptisms. Join us together in worship, in fellowship, and sharing your good news in different ways than ever before. Embolden us to serve others and to work for justice and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, we thank you for those who endured suffering and who now boast in the glory of God. Pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts and give us peace as we live in the hope of our salvation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Find safe ways to exchange the peace with one another.
Oh, my goodness.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love. For the sake of a world in need, faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Amen. And together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Holy God, speaking, spoken, inspiring, bless you, unbind you, and send you in love and peace. Amen.
Thank you.
And now go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good, render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people, love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.